This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, Gail, here we go.
Okay.
My guest today is Gail Meyer. She is known as the Roar Vegan Realtor. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Gail has been very passionate about the organic side of healthy eating. She's written a book that's about to come out called The Nuts and Sprouts of Healthy Eating, and it's meant to be simple steps to becoming healthy and losing weight for good, in effect. And she speaks to businesses, corporations, colleges about the notion of healthy eating and losing weight, and she offers coaching and seminars. The key part of this is Gail actually lost 80 pounds in 8 months and has kept it off. So, Gail, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
Now, I've got to ask you a question. It's not normal that you hear realtor put together with raw vegan. So can you tell us how that all came about?
Sure. And you're right, it isn't. I have been a realtor for the past 25 years, and I lost my weight 4 years ago and kept it off. But just as a tagline, you know, everyone started calling me the raw vegan realtor. So it kind of stuck there. And now I speak to different realtors as well, and they're kind of all following my path.
Great. So what's the difference for our listeners who may not be completely aware of it, being a vegetarian versus being a vegan or raw vegan?
Well, the difference is a vegetarian typically will not eat meat, but there's different variations of vegetarians. There's lacto-oval vegetarians.
And that means the dairy.
Yes, that means the dairy. When I was 21, I became a vegetarian of sorts, but I did eat dairy and fish.
Okay.
And I was a regular vegetarian for quite a while. And they cook their food.
So you're actually a fishitarian.
A fishitarian, I guess I was, yeah.
Okay.
And then the difference between a raw vegan and a vegan, they're basically very much the same, except raw vegan, you do not cook your food. You can heat it up to under like 105 degrees to 114 degrees. Different people think different ways. I do mine at 105 degrees if I want to heat soup up. But that's the difference between them. Oh, on the raw vegan, vegan and vegetarian, the difference there is there's no animal products, no dairy products, and you do not cook your food.
Great. So, and the reason for a raw vegan not heating anything above, what was the temperature you said?
I do mine about 105 degrees. Different people think it can go a little bit higher, but I keep mine around that temperature.
And the reason is
because of enzymes. When you eat vegetables, the only way you really get enzymes, other than what you're born with, is from raw vegetables. That's the only way you get them. And your body has a certain amount of enzymes, but you use them up. So even if you're going to eat meat or be a vegetarian, include some raw vegetables in there as well.
Gail, I'm going to interrupt for a second. Are you on a landline?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because it may be breaking up. I won't know until I go into the recording, so hopefully it's not. okay, so let me start the next question. So you lost the 80 pounds in 8 months when you became switched from kind of the fishitarian and vegetarian over to the raw part of it. Is that what happened?
I did. I actually gained the 80 pounds after an accident about 15 years before that. It was just a freak accident. And over the 15 years, I ended up gaining 80 pounds because I couldn't exercise like I had done in the past. And I was just about to give up. I mean, I was already in my 50s, and I thought it's hard enough to lose weight, especially when you're a woman and in your 50s. And I ran into these people in Newburyport, Massachusetts, who has the Revitalize Health and Wellness Center, and they taught me all about being raw, and I just gave myself up. They did exactly what they said, and it all came off, and I feel absolutely wonderful. I can run again. I can do everything I used to do.
That probably feels great to you to be able to do all that.
And that's so, what has inspired me to let other people know as well.
So that's that was the motivation for writing the Nuts and Sprouts
Absolutely.
Of Healthy Eating. Good,
Absolutely.
Got it. Now, let me ask you a question. I know there are questions that people have when they hear that you're a raw vegan. And for listeners to know, I am the lacto vegetarian, so that you're aware of that. So the question even I get, but you get even more, I'm sure, is how do you get enough protein in your diet?
There is so much protein in what I eat, and I have to let you know, I was anemic my whole life until I became a raw vegan. And that's a fact. But the protein that you get from meat and dairy is a totally different type of protein. It's very hard to digest. The protein that you get from plant, animals, nuts and seeds is very easy to digest. The protein from meat and dairy is very acidic to the body, and the other protein from plants and nuts and seeds is very alkaline for the body, which is an important thing to know, and it's very easily assimilated into the body. Some things that I use, hemp seed is probably one of the biggest sources of protein there is. You get protein in spinach, chia seeds, sprouts. I always grow my own. Leafy greens, green drinks, almonds, garlic, lentils, nuts, parsley, sesame seeds, sunflower seeds. I mean, the list goes on and on. So I get a lot of protein every day.
So what you're saying is basically, and I've seen this also in terms of the research, protein basically is spread throughout everything. So it's concentrated in some foods more, but if you eat a real diverse diet, you're even in the raw level, you're getting enough protein. Is that accurate from your standpoint?
That's very accurate. But you have to get it, but when you're eating this way, though, you have to really go organic, because the difference in what you're getting and just foods that you buy in the supermarket that are not organic, it's totally different because they have chemicals and all kinds of things in them. So there's not as much nutrition in them.
As a matter of fact, there's been some research done, I know, and I've mentioned this before on the show, where they looked at spinach that was grown on farms back in like the early 1900s, and they had a very high level of iron in it. And then they've looked at spinach grown on more chemicalized soils nowadays in farms, and it actually has a very, very low level of iron in it, to the extent you might have to eat 20 cups of spinach to get the same nutritional value that you got back in the early 1900s in what you're eating when it's done in, on a chemical farm versus when you have an organic farm. So that with the organic, it's really you're getting tremendous nutrient value for the dollars you're actually spending.
That's absolutely right. And that's a big reason why organic farms take about to get their license. Usually they have to be organic for at least 7 years or more to make sure that the nutrients and enzymes and all that good stuff is in the soil. Back when our grandparents grew up, there was also, the soil was so much better that it wasn't a problem if you did not eat meat or dairy because of the B12, which is also found. It's actually in the dirt. And nowadays, if it's not organic, you don't get as much.
So what would you be, where would you get your B12 from? Because
well,
normally most people think it's from meat and dairy.
It is, but because the animals eat the dirt and the grass. That's actually where they're getting it from. So nowadays, what I do is I have a spray, a B12 spray. It's all totally organic, and I just spray my tongue with two sprays every day just to make sure I'm getting enough of it. But I'm also getting some in my organic food.
Okay. The other question that starts to come up for folks is the notion of if you're not eating dairy, how are you getting enough calcium in for your bones?
That's also a really big misconception. Calcium isn't, first of all, when you're eating the calcium from dairy, it's also very acidic because it's meat-based. When you're eating calcium from organic foods, there's so much calcium in it, but it has to be organic. Like almonds have 234 milligrams. You have asparagus, avocados, mung beans, green beans, cabbage, Swiss chard, kale, parsley. All of this stuff has tons of protein. And personally, I believe that most people eat more protein than they should anyway. But when you eat the protein from the plant-based foods, all of it really gets assimilated in your body a lot better.
Now, we're talking protein or calcium?
Both. I'm sorry, I meant calcium. The calcium.
Okay, so
it's you're much better for your bones than dairy is as well, because it's not acidic. It's alkaline when it comes from the plant-based foods.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Gail Meyer, in just a moment talking about the raw vegan diet. Be right back. Okay, Gail.
Oh, thanks for catching me on that. I said protein and I meant calcium.
Yeah, that's okay. So we're going to continue with me reintroducing you.
Okay. And then, am I sounding okay?
I'm not sure. I can't.
Just in general for the interview.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the recording, I'm not sure. In terms of the interview, you're doing fine.
Okay, thank
so,
you.
So hopefully we won't have to do it again. But I won't know that until I get to listen in after. So if we do, I'll give you a call and let you know.
Alrighty.
So let's begin again. So I'm talking to Gail Meyer. She's known as the Raw Vegan Realtor. She's located in Massachusetts, and Gail lost 80 pounds by becoming a raw vegan. So that led her to be very passionate about the organic side of healthy eating. She's written a book that's coming out shortly, and it's called The Nuts and Sprouts of Healthy Eating, and it's about simple steps for getting healthy and losing weight for good. And the website for her book is healthyeatinghealthybody.com. That's healthyeatinghealthybody.com. And she speaks to businesses and corporations and colleges about this notion of healthy eating and losing weight. So, Gail, I've got a question for you, because part of your notion is losing weight for good. So how does that come into play? How does what you're doing make it for good?
Well, I guess it comes from the notion that about dieting. Okay, when should you diet? Never, as far as I'm concerned. You should never diet. What you should do is change your diet. The reason diets don't work is because they end. If you have a good base of food and you're eating correctly, then you'll stay healthy and you'll get more healthy all the time. But if you go on a diet, then you're going to stop doing it, and then you'll just go back to what you're doing, you know, that you used to do.
Yeah, the research out there really supports what you're saying with the people losing weight on any diet they go on, but then they go back to what they're doing, and within a couple of years, year or two, they're back to their same weight or a higher weight.
Right, so, and I've been there.
Uh-huh, so you've been a yo-yo dieter.
Absolutely, and I usually gained more weight than I started with.
Good. Yeah. Congratulations on your success.
Well, thank you.
So from your vantage point, why do people get sick?
People get sick almost entirely by what they eat. I probably shouldn't say entirely, but that is really what it's all about. Years ago, people didn't have all these diseases that we have now. We have processed foods. We have diet drinks. We have milk that has now got hormones and everything else in it. We have, most of the milk that you buy nowadays is from cows that never go out in free range. They're force-fed. Not eating enough whole foods, not eating enough organic foods. Fast food restaurants, sugar, caffeine, all of this is why people are sick.
Now let me ask you a question, because there's the raw milk movement that's out there now. And so how do you respond to that? Because it's unprocessed. It's milk that, you know, the cows are eating in the fields. And how does that fit into being the raw vegan and with what you're talking about in terms of how people should be eating?
It is better than regular milk if it is organic and free range, but it is still acidic. And that goes with the dairy as well. The dairy will be better for you if it comes from raw cows and organic that are free range. But now I should tell you the difference between acidic and alkaline, if you like.
That's exactly what I was going to start asking you. What's the difference between alkaline and acidic, Gail?
I'll go alkaline first because there's fewer things on it. Almost all fruits and vegetables, raw nuts, and sprouted grains. Acidic foods are a few fruits and vegetables, all animal foods, whether they're free range or not, whole and refined grains, sugar, some herbs and spices, spicy food, fried food, salt, soda, coffee, tea, alcohol, drugs, medication, and tobacco and liquor. Those are all acidic things for your body. And that's about what? 90% of what most people eat.
Well, hold on. So why should somebody care that they're having more? You've put the list out, but why should they care about that?
Well, it's a proven fact that you cannot have disease in your body if you have an alkaline body. It can only grow in an acidic body. So if you want to eat all that stuff, and if you look at over the last 40 years, people have kept gaining weight and gaining weight. I mean, it was so easy for me to lose all that weight in 8 months, and I've never been able to do that. And I have not been sick once in 4 years. No flus, no headaches, nothing. And I don't take any medications at all. And I used to have all of those problems. And all my friends have those problems, and I never get sick anymore.
Now, if you've got somebody who is a confirmed meat eater, but they're looking to, because of, say, health problems, they're looking to try out the raw concept. Or should they jump into it whole hog? Should they go into it gradually, you know, like putting the toe in the water? And how should they approach switching a diet over to something that's so dramatically different than what they're doing?
I don't recommend doing it all at once. That would be like going on a diet. You would end because it's like so different that you couldn't stay on it. I would start introducing certain things like more raw foods, making everything like vegetables and fruits organic instead of just store-bought. I would, instead of eating regular meat and dairy, do the organic free-range. It's a little more expensive, but it's healthier. And then cut back on it maybe four times a week. And then change some other things like sugar. Get rid of sugar, but there's other products out there that mask sugar that taste really good and they're sweet.
Give us a for instance.
Yep. We have, let me see. It's got like raw blue agave. I have that in my kitchen. I use that, but I don't really use much sweetening anyway. Raw organic honey, acorn syrup, organic maple syrup, coconut crystals. You can buy all these things in organic stores. Lucuma, which is a Peruvian fruit, you can actually buy that crystallized or in powder form as well. And anytime you cook with anything, you can use all of these ingredients instead of using sugar. And salt, you should get rid of salt and only have salt. Only have like Himalayan salt, salt that is, I can't think of the word I'm thinking of. Not table salt, but really good salt.
Do you want to go back and re-say that whole thing about salt?
I do. I can think of what's the word I'm thinking of.
Or you can just skip salt.
Sorry,
just go, just say and salt and Himalayan, you know, look at Himalayan salt, something like that. Why don't you just do that? Because I can edit out what
okay,
we're just doing.
Good. You ready?
Yeah.
Salt, I'd get rid of table salt. You only want to buy like organic, really good salt, like a Himalaya salt. And you only need a lot less of it because it's much stronger.
Now, in your book, do you have, and it's called The Nuts and Sprouts of Healthy Eating. Do you have recipes for folks to be able to follow?
I do. And I have pictures of the foods that I make, too, that I took myself. So
and do
I
they
have,
look good?
Oh, they are, and they're delicious. Oh, they're absolutely delicious. So but in the book, I haven't excluded anybody. So I've actually excluded some, you know, healthier food for meat eaters, like chicken and fish and meat, and like changing some things around, like making mashed potatoes, like making it with almond milk instead of real milk, you know, because it's higher in protein and it's much better for you. So all kinds of things that I've added in there that can save calories, fat calories, and that are healthier. And
so what you're
vegetarian,
doing,
I have recipes in there. And
so what you're doing is you're in effect leading people over to.
I am. And that way they can decide for themselves. Even if you're just making a few changes, you know, that can make such a big, huge difference in your health.
Now, what are five foods, let's say, somebody would have in their fridge that you would view as stuff that could make them go sicko?
Well, the first thing, everybody should stop having our diet sodas. That is probably, I don't even know why they're legal.
Well, how about if I keep it outside of the fridge and I just add ice? Does that work okay?
No, not at all. Diet sodas, most of them contain aspartame, okay, which is also NutraSweet, Equal, AminoSweet, all of those nice sounding healthy names. They absolutely are not, and they're really linked to, they're really a neurotoxin, and they're linked to like brain cancers and seizures and all kinds of bad things. And it's very difficult to get it out of your body. So I'd totally get, if you were going to have soda, I'd say drink regular soda before diet soda even.
Okay, so that's one item.
Number two would be regular milk. I would, all types of regular milk, skim, 2% whole. For people who really, really want regular milk, then go the organic free range. Other than that, you can make your own almond milk or buy almond milk in the store now. Much better for you. Number three would be
What about rice milk? Because that's also available.
It is available, but it would be better than regular milk, but
okay.
Make sure that there's no additives in it.
Okay. And number three,
that would be soy products. Unless you can actually get some really good soy that has like unchanged soybeans, it's really hard to find organic soybeans at this point. Everything has soy in it, and who knows what's in it anymore.
And by unchanged, what you're saying
unchanged
is
means,
it's not genetically modified organism.
Exactly, not genetically modified.
Okay.
The
number four.
Dairy products. Try to get remove as many dairy products as you can, and if not, again the free range. If your children have allergies, try having them go off dairy completely for 2 weeks, and I bet anything the allergies go away. That happens twice
and
in 2 weeks.
Number five.
Number five would be vegetables that are not organic, because of the pesticides and the little bit of nutrition that is left in them.
So you now have heard it here, folks, our first 1 to 5 list I've ever done on the show. And Gail, if people want to get your book, they can go to your website. Again, that's healthyeatinghealthybody.com. And her email is gdmeyer1@gmail.com. So, Gail, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Jerry.
So, hold on. Let me turn the taping off.
The email is different.